Today we find ourselves at the beginning of one of the most significant times of the year. We all know that, don't we? It's the season of March Madness. What? What do you think I was going to say? It's only the most exciting tournament in all of sports, college basketball. Come on. And if your team did make it to the big dance, then you are locked in, aren't you? Lots of us here are Tennessee fans, so we're especially paying attention this year as we actually have a fighting chance, already making it to the Sweet 16. Two more wins, and we're in the Final Four. Ah, wonderful. Of course, as thrilling as it is for your team to win, it's just as tragic when they get booted out earlier than expected, like my team did from my hometown of Lubbock, Texas, the Texas Tech Red Raiders. And we were a 6 seed, of all things. Super painful and frustrating, but not as frustrating, I'm sure, for those Kentucky fans out there who also lost in the first round as a 3 seed. Ouch. Yet that is why we love it, don't we? Because it is madness. Because we know that every year there will be those dramatic upsets, a few Cinderella stories, some improbable last-second game-winning shot, so that it's always a thrill to watch. Basketball fans relish this time of year. And the thing about fans is that they get so invested in their team that they talk as if they're actually on the team, don't they? That's how I sounded just a moment ago when I said that we were a 6 seed, as if I was on the team. Because I am a Red Raider. And so I will say things like, we played horribly. Or we creamed them, right? Our heads weren't in the game. What am I talking about? I'm not even in the game. That's what we do as fans. We identify ourselves with the team that we root for. Even as we all know that the difference between a fan in the stands and an athlete on the court is night and day. Because for a fan, no matter how much you love your team, it's not your life, is it? It doesn't take that much for you to show up and watch a game. But to show up and play a game, now that's another story. That takes years and years of practice and hard work. So much so that for many of these athletes, you could say that basketball is pretty much their life. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but there's a Powerade commercial that is currently airing that shows in 30 seconds what the workout regime looks like for two college basketball players. So, you know, you see them running bleachers, lifting weights, they're in the gym, shooting shot after shot after shot, day after day, week after week, month after month. And then the tagline appears, March doesn't start in March. It takes more. Quite an understatement. It takes a lot more. For fans, March Madness starts in March because we're not on the team. We're not required to do the work. But if you're on the team, then March doesn't start in March. No, it has to be for you a way of life. It's every day training, learning, practicing, pushing yourself to be better and better, because there is a huge difference between being a fan and being an athlete. My friends, the same is true when it comes to our faith. There is a massive difference between being a Christian or a fan of Jesus and being a follower of Jesus. It is night and day. When you read the stories of Jesus in the New Testament, of all the people who are drawn to him, of all those who want to somehow make Jesus part of their lives, they can all fit into one of two baskets. They are either fans of Jesus or they are followers of Jesus. Except in the New Testament, fans go by another name. They are called the crowd. The crowd is made up of fans of Jesus. Those who are only drawn to, you know, his miracles, people prone to come out of the woodwork for his healing sessions, I mean, if there's free food, then the crowd will swell into the thousands out there on the countryside, flocking to Jesus. In fact, in these stories, the crowd is often presented as its own character. Even if the crowd consists of thousands of people, that doesn't matter because they're all the same. They're only in it for what Jesus can do for them. And as long as Jesus is winning, making their lives easy breezy, as long as Jesus is meeting their expectations, then these fans will be lining up for tickets the rest of their life. But as soon as Jesus starts asking something of them, as soon as Jesus starts losing, well, then these fans are exposed for what they really are: fickle front runners, and they're gone. I hope you felt that in today's service as we, the crowd, enacted two scenes from the final week of Jesus's life. The first scene is what we commemorate today on Palm Sunday, as we, the crowd, show up to the game, as we show up to cheer and to holler for Team Jesus. And so we shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David, the King of Israel. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Even our children got involved as they marched around the arena, waving their banners, singing out our team's fight song. Yes, we are all for Jesus when he comes to fulfill our expectations. We will cheer for him when that's what everyone else is doing. But my friends, fans are capricious critters. We've seen this many times before. As Jesus, for example, you'll see this in the gospel stories, he turns around and he sees these mega crowds streaming behind him, all these fans frolicking to his side, and yet he knows exactly what is going on, which is why Jesus so often intentionally tries to thin the crowd. And he does so by laying down these outrageous challenges, like a coach telling a potential recruit what will be expected from him. If you want to follow me, sell everything you have. If you want to follow me, then let the dead bury their dead. Pick up your cross. Deny yourself. Give away your life. Put yourself last. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Man, this is tough stuff. But Jesus knows how to expose a mere fan. And never was this more clear than in the second scene reenacted today, a scene we will enter into more deeply on Good Friday. As the closer and closer Jesus comes to the cross, we watch all of his fans just fall away. Now they want nothing to do with him. For when it becomes clear that Team Jesus is going to lose, well then, crucify him, we say. Crucify him. I'm fine with being a fan, but I am certainly not going to follow him there to the cross. Again, this is why all of our crosses this morning are covered up, to remind us of this tendency that we all have toward fandom. We are all for Jesus as long as that cross is hidden from our eyes, as long as we're not asked to have to pick it up, as long as we can just be fans. You know, show up every so often for a Sunday service, make sure I've prayed the prayer or that my ticket to heaven is punched. Make sure that I believe the right things and make a bit of noise for Christian values or whatever. I can do that. But don't you dare ask me to make Jesus my way of life, especially if it's a cross-shaped way of life. Especially if it's something that I must commit to every day, that affects all of my decisions, something that must define every aspect of my life. No, don't ask me to come out of the crowd to be a genuine follower of this Jesus. That's just not my game. Did you know that the word Christian is used only 3 times in the New Testament? 3 times. The word disciple, on the other hand, or follower, is used over 250 times. I think we should pay attention to that. Jesus is looking for people to follow him, not people who will use his name as a label, right? I find it disturbing that around 63% of Americans are proud to self-identify as Christian. But did you also know that only 4% say that they are actually trying to follow Jesus with their entire life? 4%. I mean, this is especially true right here in the Bible Belt. Many people around here are so proud to identify themselves as Christians, even as church-going Christians, to let the whole world know that this is their label. But I have learned to respond to this well-known fact with a shrug and a so what. Actually, of late, it's been more of an oh no. Because self-identified Christians are hurting the witness of the church. Because so many of them don't look anything like Jesus. And they want nothing to do with learning how to model their lives after his. No, they want to use Jesus for their own agenda. I suppose we can take comfort in knowing that Jesus himself was quite familiar with this situation. He too was surrounded by a lot of Christians, that is, a lot of fans, not followers. He understands that fans are everywhere. They're in our communities, in our local, state, and federal government, in our nonprofits, in our businesses, and yes, even in our churches. And with Jesus, I say this is not good. We need to thin this crowd. We don't need any more Christians, God forbid. Because to be a Christian and to be a disciple are two different things. One is a fan, the other is a follower. And Jesus is not looking for any more fans. He's not looking for converts to Christianity. He's looking for people who will devote their entire lives to his way of life. He's looking for recruits willing to do the work to become an athlete out there on the court instead of a fan sitting in the stands, or in our case, in our pews. Probably around 20 years ago, I was at a conference for church leaders, and I remember one of the young speakers, a now prominent evangelical pastor, warning us of a false teaching he believed was taking root in the American church. Well, I'll never forget what he said, because at the time, something didn't feel right about it. Something felt off. And it's only now with hindsight that I realize how detrimental his words were. He said, "Beware of those teachers who say that Christianity is a way of life." Can you believe that? Have you heard people say this before? Beware of viewing the Christian faith as a way of life. And he went on to clarify what he meant. He said that Christianity is not a way of life because it's not about what you do. It's about what Jesus has done for you. And boy, at first, this kind of statement sounds good enough for a few amens. But at the end of the day, it's not only ridiculous, it's very dangerous. Of course Christianity is about what Jesus has done for us. But that in no way negates the fact that Jesus calls us to a way of life. A radical way of living. These are not mutually exclusive things. Can you imagine Jesus saying something like this at the end of his famous Sermon on the Mount? "Now, everything I just told you, I want you to forget about all that. You really don't have to worry because I'm about to do it all for you." Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Because it is ridiculous. There is a reason the early church described themselves first and foremost as followers of the way. That's the term they chose. Because for them, Jesus had come to make available a way of life, a way to be human. A way of life that, yes, is empowered by the Holy Spirit, but one that also requires daily obedience and alignment to the radical commands of Jesus. My friends, today teaches us there is a huge difference, a massive gap between being a fan of Jesus and being a follower of Jesus. Which one are you? Which one are you? Eugene Peterson wrote a book called The Jesus Way, a book where he concludes that Jesus as the truth gets far more attention than Jesus as the way. And he goes on to say that Jesus as the way is the most neglected metaphor among those whom he ministered to for over 30 years. And so I wonder, in this significant season, no, not March Madness, in this season of Holy Week, when it comes to Jesus, is he your way of life? Are you committed to learning his way of life day in, day out, every decision that you make, everything that you do? Are you a hardworking follower of Jesus or just an easygoing fan? There is a huge difference between the two, and it's a difference that changes everything. Heavenly Father, we do not want to be a church that consists of fans. We want to hear the radical commands of Christ and follow him, not just on Sunday, but every day. Not in some kind of weird divide between our spiritual life and our everyday life. We want all of this integrated. We want to be faithful followers of Jesus in all spheres of our life. Holy Spirit, come, empower us, help us to do the hard work that is required to follow this King Jesus who calls us to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. We pray this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.